Welcome to another episode of Optimum 7 Surge Sessions, our weekly e-commerce, digital marketing, and technology podcast.
Hello, this week we will talk about making money from paid search. This is one of the questions that we get all the time because a lot of people think about paid search as just, okay, I want to spend this much money on AdWords or on Facebook or on Instagram or remarketing, and I'm going to see if I make money or not. And unfortunately, paid search does not work this way anymore. Here is why it doesn't work like that. Big companies are spending millions of dollars. You have companies who spend $20, $30, $40, $50 million and upwards of $100 million and bidding on very, very short terms. So let's say you're a realtor and you want to bid on homes for sale in Miami, right? And Zillow, Redfin, Trulia, Realtor.com, they're already bidding $30, $40, $50 a word per keyword for those terms, and they're bidding on homes for sale. So it doesn't matter if you bid for homes for sale in Miami or homes for sale in Coral Gables or whatever the local area is, you will never outrank them because they're spending more money, they have better quality scores. Quality score has to do with your click-through rates, and they have a larger pool of keywords that they're bidding on. So if you are in the mindset of saying, okay, I'm going to put $1,000 into paid search and I will see if I make money or not, you're definitely not going to make money, especially if you are in a semi-competitive industry. So we're going to repeat that on this week's search session, and we're going to talk to you about some strategies where you could actually make money and get a return on your investment from paid advertising. So, Joe, what are some of the most common paid advertising platforms that we use today? Yeah.
So there's Google, which they have Google Ads and also Google Shopping. Mm-hmm. And then Facebook is social, really, primarily Facebook and Instagram. I would say those are the two most popular.
Got it. And why is Google AdWords or Google Shopping more expensive than Facebook right now?
It's the competitiveness. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you have large companies bidding on specific keywords, and they're pretty much driving that average cost per click up to an amount that some small businesses just can't afford.
Mm-hmm. And this is where there's a big differentiation in terms of if you should do AdWords, if you should do Google Shopping, or if you should do Instagram or Facebook, because it really has to do with your services, your products, what you are offering, what your value proposition is, and your sales cycle. If you are just, let's give this as an example, if you are selling CBD oil, which is very popular recently, you have to be on AdWords. If you have a good profit margin, you have to be on AdWords, mm-hmm. and you have to be on Google Shopping because people are searching for how can I get CBD oil, right? However, if you are selling something more social, like if you're selling a pet product, that's not really direct, that cannot really be directly searched from Google AdWords or a Google search, then you're probably going to need a more advanced demographic. For us, we could go on Google and we could bid on internet marketing services or SEO company or software company, but we're competing with giant companies who are doing $100-150 million annually. So rather than doing that, it's better for us as Optimum 7 to find our exact demographic on Facebook and Instagram mm-hmm. and target those people. Who are those people? Business owners that are doing more than $1 million, less than $250 million annually, directors of marketing, CTOs, CMOs, possibly CFOs. So it's a better targeting option that you have where you can dig deeper rather than just bidding on keywords. Now, mm-hmm. when it comes to Facebook and Instagram, what are some of the steps that we need to go through, Joe, to ensure that it's successful?
Absolutely. So first off, you're going to need to make sure that you have your tracking pixels. Mm-hmm. So Facebook provides you with a Facebook pixel that you can implement onto the back end of your site. And that way you can actually track these users and monitor their performance on Facebook and utilize that within your campaigns. Mm-hmm. So once you have the tracking set up and installed, now you need to pinpoint your target demo. Facebook has a beautiful tool in their ads manager that allows you to really break down your target demographic mm-hmm. if you're trying to reach a new demographic. But at the same time, utilizing that pixel, what you could do is you could create a retargeting campaign to everybody who landed on a specific page of your site. That way you can deliver them with a really specific ad that's relevant to what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Got it. And here is the key where you need to represent your brand as effectively as possible. Is I'll give two examples. So if you are selling on AdWords, if you were selling a mattress, you could say, well, okay, I'm selling a mattress, and you would bid on the mattress keywords, right? But on Facebook, you're not really selling a mattress, you're selling a good night's sleep. And you have to communicate that to the audience with a possibly with a video or with an ad that says that. That's a very, you need a very attractive image to grab their attention. So Facebook and Instagram is this kind of an audience. And just to give you a few creative ideas, we sell chocolate to women between the ages of 21 and 35 who got out of a relationship in the past 45 days. And we sell flowers and engagement rings to men who have been in relationships for over 5 years, but they are not married yet. So Facebook allows you to do deep targeting like this to get the conversions. Now, this is true, of course, for e-commerce products, but what if I'm running a consulting business and I'm doing lead generation and my sales cycle is 6 months from the first time they contact me to when they're going to become a client? Let's say it's 6 months. What do I do then? What should I do to make sure that those leads are worth something to me?
You need to make sure that you have your sales funnel set up and it's in place. Make sure that you have your CRM set up.
And CRM, by CRM, you mean a customer relationship manager.
Yeah.
Where you manage all your leads.
Correct.
Salesforce is a CRM. Nutshell is a CRM.
Correct. So when you have a high price point product or service and you're marketing on it, I mean, it could be on Google Ads as well. But let's say you're advertising on Facebook, you have a high price point item, product or service, you know that there's going to be very minimal first touch attributions that are going to lead to a sale.
Correct.
So you're going to need to be able to monitor that from the point that they first saw your ad and landed on your site to 3 months down the road when they finally decided to, you know, pull the trigger on your product or service.
So you need to nurture them. You have to have a nurture funnel.
Correct.
Right? So what is a nurture funnel? What do we do? Most of the time, people, when they advertise, they're looking for, okay, I want somebody to contact me and I want to sell them. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't work that way. People are smarter now. They have 5 seconds of an attention span. So you have to, the primary goal of today's advertisement is try to grab some kind of information from them. Maybe an email or a phone number or whatever that is. And what happens when you receive that email, you have to give something back to them of value, right? So a lot of people miss this. They say, okay, here's my service, contact me. That doesn't work anymore. So what works, Joe?
Giving some sort of, like you said, providing value in exchange for in exchange for information in return. So it could be something like an ebook, or it could be something as simple as just you know, a free consultation.
Ebook, white paper, a sample,
an
audit that you might be able to do, and most of this has to do with, again, exciting the user and also inflicting some pain into user, right? For example, if you contact a manager at a bank and talk about compliance, I'm pretty sure he's going to listen. So if you have a compliance software, then you have an angle into inflicting that pain. So it's about, in the ad copy, inflicting that pain, but also giving them something valuable. You have to have a good value proposition. You grab their email. You say, okay, to get this, please provide your email. They will provide their email. It's easy to get leads this way. And then you put them into a funnel. We call it a nurture funnel or a nurture drip. Now, let's talk about email. What happens? How many follow-ups do we do?
Well, it depends. It all depends on how extensive your drip is. I would say for people starting off, don't worry about making it as extensive as possible right off the bat. But just get something up and running immediately. And then little by little, start to add to that drip campaign.
Got it.
But as far as how many emails, it really depends. Again, I would suggest maybe, you know, one email a week to two most. Again, you don't want to spam, you know, you don't want to spam these individuals. And you need to make sure that each and every one of these drips provide value.
Yep. You have to stay. So the key point is you have to stay in front of your audience, and not only via email, then when these people, submit the form, or they give you their email, you can then go back to Facebook through the pixel and retarget everybody that actually landed onto your landing page and never completed the form. You could show them a different angle. So the most powerful thing about Facebook, Instagram, Google AdWords, et cetera, is being able to grab that information and then nurturing your audiences and knowing the steps of what they need to go through to become a sale. I'll tell you optimum sevens. We have a touch point, which is the first email. Once they submit their email, we might put them into a different funnel. If you're an e-commerce client, you'll go somewhere else. If you're a marketing client, you'll go somewhere else. If you're looking for ADA compliance, you'll go to another drip, right? And then every two emails or every three emails, which is approximately every 7 to 8 days, we will push them a call to action that says, contact us, speak to an expert. This is important now. If we want to inflict pain, we will actually attach a copy of a lawsuit that we have seen or worked with recently for ADA compliance. Now, attaching that lawsuit inflicts a lot of pain and that it forces them to hit the contact us button. Another thing you could do to basically inflict pain in them is mention competitors. Mention the money they're leaving on the table. Mention other things in your industry that might work for your audience because, you know, we're doing marketing and technology and software. You might be doing something else. But in every business, there are these pain points and you need to use these pain points. So what if I execute a marketing plan like this for paid search and I don't have a drip funnel? I refuse to do one. What am I losing?
You're losing a lot of potential revenue. Mm-hmm. Because again, you know, you're not giving yourself, your business, the opportunity to land this individual later on in the future. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much just they saw your ad, they clicked, they didn't like it, you lost them forever. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't have to be that way and it shouldn't be that way.
Got it. So the key point with this, regardless of you selling a product or selling a service, is how much does each lead or how much does each product sale cost you? If you're selling a $100 product and your profit margin is 50%, you're making $50 for every order, how much does it cost you to get that order? Now, if you're trying to get it on the first touch, which is you see my ad, you purchase my product, your CPA, your cost per acquisition is going to be high. But imagine you collecting 1,000 emails a month across the board. At the end of 10 months, you're going to have 10,000 emails that you're continuously dripping to. And the first time they did a touch with your brand, maybe they weren't ready to buy. Maybe they were just price shopping. Maybe they were just researching. Now, this is what a lot of these big brands do that work. By having a drip like this, you're decreasing your first cost per acquisition. It costs a lot less to grab an email address than to grab name, phone number, email address, phone number, company name. It costs a lot. Maybe I would say 1/10. So if you're getting a lead, a real lead for $10, you could get an email address for $1. And then over time, what you're able to do is you're able to decrease that cost per acquisition over time, thus increasing the ROI, return on your investment. This is what's so powerful about paid advertising and the fact that average e-commerce site or average lead generation site has a 3-5% conversion rate, okay? Now, most of you out there are Prime members. Go to your inbox and see how many emails Amazon is sending to you. How many follow-ups? Hey, look at our specials. Go right now, pause this video, and go see how many you have. I guarantee you have at least 50 follow-up emails from Amazon. That's the power of drip. So when you have these drip strategies, it will work and you will decrease your cost per acquisition. how much should you spend on paid search? A lot of people ask this question. Mm-hmm. Hey, I want to increase my business. It really depends. It depends on your audience. It depends on how much money you're going to make. It depends on how long can you invest. But
your competitors, how much are they spending?
But at this point, it depends. If you're a local business, you might be able to spend $1,000 a month and be done with it. And that might be a good budget for you because you spend $1,000, mm-hmm. you get back $10,000. But if you're a nationwide business, you cannot spend $1,000 anymore. We usually don't do anything less than $6,000 a monthly ad spend, going up all the way to $100,000 a month ad spend. A lot of people get scared when we mention these numbers, but it's not about how much you spend. It's about how much you get back. And the only way to do that is to have the right kind of setup to nurture these leads. Again, as a business owner, you cannot afford to be scared of investing in your business and spending money on your business, but it has to make sense. We talk to people, and Joe loves this. We talk to people, they say, well, how much do you want to invest? And they'll say, $2,000. What's the goal? They say, well, I want to make $500,000 more in 6 months. So then we say, you're willing to invest $12,000 to make $500,000? I have $12,000 if you can make $500,000 for me. That does not add up, okay? Your return on your investment, you should be happy. If you are 5xing your return on your investment, at 10x, you should be incredibly happy. If you are able to spend $1,000 and get back $10,000 of revenue, considering that maybe you have, you know, 50% margins on whatever you're selling. So by just doing that, what is your return on your investment? 500%? So that's the kind of number that you need to work with for it to be successful. And remember, a lot of people say that they do this. If you go to Google, if you go to Upwork, there are a ton of people who charge anywhere from $10 an hour to $1,000 an hour. Find one guy that makes sense with the strategies from a sales standpoint and work with that guy. It could be a company, it could be an individual, but it's gotta make sense. And you have to put in a budget that makes sense. You have to commit to a budget for at least a period of 4 to 6 months to be able to see results. You are not going to spend $1,000 and make $5,000 in the first month. That rarely happens. Again, this is branding. This is marketing. This doesn't happen with individual tasks. This happens with a strategy and the right kind of execution. And not to mention the fact that you have to have the right structure. If your salespeople suck, if you don't have your sales funnel properly, if your website sucks, if you don't have the retargeting pixel like Joe said, if you have no idea how many leads you got and how much sale you made, you're not ready to do paid search. Okay. Anything else, Joe?
Well, I was just going back to what you said about selecting the right individual. If this individual does not ask how your sales funnel is set up, and if you have a nurturing funnel set up, that is not the right individual to go with, because that individual does not care about your business. He's just looking to get paid.
Correct. So whomever is going to work on this needs to ask you the right kind of questions to actually understand your business. This is not about bidding on keywords and slapping an ad somewhere on Facebook anymore. It is an integration between technology, business, and marketing. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Optimum 7 Surge Sessions. Do you have a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to cover, or simply have a question about one of the topics we have previously covered? Send us an email to info@optimum7.com or visit our website, www.optimum7.com.